The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
The NFL is on the clock. Welcome to the final hour of the most significant day on the NFL's calendar here in July. It's franchise tag deadline day, and the deadline is 4 p.m. Eastern time to sign tag players to long-term deals. These are the players we're watching as the clock ticks toward 4 p.m. 14 players have been tagged, including the likes of Dak Prescott, Derrick Henry, and A.J. Green. Just one of them, Chris Jones, already got a massive long-term deal done yesterday. Hi, everyone. We've got a full house and lots to watch for in the next 60 minutes. I'm Susie Kalber with Adam Schefter and Louis Riddick. Plus, with Dak Prescott front and center, our quarterbacks Tim Hasselbeck and Dan Orlovsky offer their insight. Also, Chiefs GM Brett Veach will be joining us to talk about how he got the biggest deal in sports history done during a pandemic. You will also hear from Chris Mortensen in just a moment, so let's get going with the nuts and bolts on what this deadline is all about. Franchise Tag 101. The franchise tag is a one-year contract that teams can apply to one impending free agent. Simply said, it takes the best players off the market. And as stated, the deadline is 4 Eastern today to reach a long-term deal. After that point, the player cannot be extended until after the season. Those one-year deals aren't cheap, though, worth an average of the top five highest-paid players at their position, or in Dak Prescott's case, more than $31 million. Let's get started here with Adam Schefter. And Adam, what can you tell us about the very latest on Derrick Henry in these final 60 minutes?
Well, Susie, this just in. The two sides were not planning to do a deal, but as often happens, right at the deadline, there's been some movement, and the two sides are now trying to finalize a contract extension for Derrick Henry that would keep him in Tennessee for the long term. The two sides are getting close on that deal. It sounds like it's on the way to being done to lock in Derrick Henry and to keep him there. That would be a big addition for the Titans as they close in on this 4 Eastern deadline, which is under an hour away. They're on the clock trying to get that deal done. It sounds like it's going to get done. And what's interesting is that neither side had much optimism that this would happen. And all of a sudden, right, it came together within the last 24 hours.
All right, let's bring Mort in here as well and turn to what's been the biggest headline or non-headline is Dak Prescott. Mort, any movement in these final 58 minutes on a long-term deal for Dak?
No, but I have no doubt that Cowboys fans are excited about the Derrick Henry potential news here if that indeed gets final. But there's no indication there's activity, real activity, between the Cowboys and Dak Prescott. I think June 22nd, when Dak signed his franchise tag, was the last time there was some communication, but nothing in terms of negotiation. It was back in March when the Cowboys put their, basically the offer they have on the table now. It's a five-year deal. It's almost $35 million, just short of Russell Wilson money, who's the highest paid by average quarterback. And the guaranteed money's in the area of where Jared Goff of the Rams got. But those, the Cowboys felt like those numbers were basically there last year, and they're not good enough for Dak. I will say this, and I haven't spoken to Dak, but I don't know that Dak would take Patrick Mahomes' deal with the Chiefs, because in his next 2 or 3 years, if he just does franchise tags, he's going to make a lot more than Patrick Mahomes in terms of cash in those first 2 or 3 years. And Jerry Jones actually likes longer-term deals. He gave his all-pro left tackle, Tyron Smith, basically a 10-year contract a few years ago, but in this case, we're hearing nothing that is substantive, and we, certainly they would like a surprise like we're just hearing out of Derrick Henry, hopefully in the Tennessee Titans.
So, Adam, if this doesn't get done, assuming it doesn't get done in the next 55 minutes, then what's next? What's next for Dak?
Well, Susie, barring an unexpected dramatic change, this deal is not getting done. There's not been contact today. There's been not been contact for days. There's not been contact for weeks and months here in terms of negotiations. And so this deal is not going to get done. And what happens then is this. The Dallas Cowboys have put themselves in a tough spot because here are the options, really. they can franchise Dak Prescott after the season to the tune of $38 million at a time where the cap is going to be flat or go down. That would be one option. The other option, of course, would be that they could sign into a long-term deal that's going to be very pricey at that point in time because they'll be coming off a franchise tag, getting ready to play on another franchise tag for $38 million. And the third option is to just let him walk in free agency. None of those options are overly appealing, and they should not be in this particular position today, but they are. And so they're going to have to deal with this at this point in time, but it's a tough spot. We've seen two other quarterbacks play on franchise tags. One was Drew Brees in San Diego, and he left after that tag was up. Of course, Philip Rivers was in on the roster, and he was able to move on to New Orleans. And then we have a situation where Kirk Cousins was on the tag in Washington, and he left for Minnesota for a huge record-breaking type contract. Dak Prescott is along those lines right now because these two sides are going to be unable to get this deal done by the 4 o'clock deadline.
So then let's talk about that Kirk Cousins route, because we know that Cousins famously bet on himself repeatedly, and Dak could see a huge payoff financially if he follows the same road. So look at Cousins from 2016, his first season under the franchise tag, through 2020. Cousins will have earned more money than any player in the NFL. Just listen to Cousins' most recent take on Prescott's situation.
The cream will rise to the top. If you're good enough, the cream's going to rise to the top, and you're going to get compensated the way you want to. And sometimes it doesn't happen as quickly as you would like, but if you deserve it and you've earned it, it's going to happen. So you just got to stay the course and stay patient. And certainly in my journey, it all worked out. I wouldn't go back and change a thing. And so my message to Dak, you know, when I saw him midseason last year was, hey, whatever happens, you know, don't be afraid of the tag. It can be your friend, and you can use it to your advantage.
Let's get Lewis in on this. Lewis, in both situations, the organizations are saying, prove it, and the players are betting on themselves. Do you believe that Dak is doing the right thing by not taking a long-term deal now?
Well, I think that's all about personal choice, and it's really a subjective question, a subjective answer. Obviously, Dak feels that he is. He feels that it's worth it to go ahead and maybe sacrifice some short-term gain right now. And look, I say short-term gain. I don't know if, you know, the kind of money, $35 million per year, is what, you know, something that many people would sacrifice at this point in time for the long term, which is to really maximize and max out on his cash flow over the long haul. And look, if he right now plays this out to free agency and gets to free agency and actually gets to the point where, you know, he's a guy who can go on the open market, the open market is going to talk and is going to really then value him in a way that maybe he sees fit. And that is what I think all players want. That's what all players really think of when they think of the free agency era right now. And Dak right now is poised to really cash in, provided he's able to keep himself healthy and upright through the course of this 2020 season.
Poised to cash in. Let's bring the quarterbacks into the conversation. Guys, the Cowboys have a new head coach, new system. Maybe it's a one-year audition. If you guys are in the room with Mike McCarthy, make your case on what type of quarterback you think Dak is. Dan, you start.
Yeah, Dak's a very good quarterback. Anyone that would argue that Dak wasn't a good quarterback would be incorrect. He's proven that. But when we're talking about these type of numbers and the contract that he's asking for, you're not looking for good. You're putting him in a category of great. And I would say that if last year went different, when Dak needed to be great, this contract would have been done. In the games last year playing top 10 defenses, he did not play well. Games against playoff teams last year, he did not play well. In those games that they played that were playoff contending football teams, they had 9 possessions in the fourth quarter to either take the lead or tie the game. 9 possessions. They went 0-for-9 in those 9 possessions. They kicked 2 field goals. So if that situation went different, this contract would get done because the Cowboys would look at him differently. And I think the Cowboys are sitting there going, we've got a good quarterback. We need him to prove that he is going to be consistently great for us to give in to the demands that he wants contract-wise.
He threw for 350 yards against the Bills. That was a playoff team. Look, we could filter statistics however we want. I mean, 5-0 at night after having Chick-fil-A as a pregame meal. I mean, the reality is he checks a lot of boxes when you look at him as a quarterback in terms of what he does and the fact that you can end up winning with him. Look, you talk about a guy that's good at the line of scrimmage. Package play here for the Dallas Cowboys. He's getting 0 blitz. Adjust the protection. lose to the add-on defender, and you end up throwing a touchdown pass. That's as good as it can be done at this level. And you just look at, you know, the opportunity to use his legs. You know, a lot of people talk about the future of the NFL is having the guy that can beat you with his legs. Well, playoff game, 3rd and 14 in the red zone. You're trying to protect the lead. What do? A design quarterback draw that ultimately ends up picking up the first down and nearly scores. And then you want a guy that can make plays outside of the design of your offense. And Dak Prescott has proved time and time again that he can do that. Route combination gets distorted, escapes to his left, becomes a traffic cop, tells Ezekiel Elliott where to go, and ends up throwing a touchdown pass. There is so much that Dak does well. Is he the best in the game? No, he's not the best in the game. Is he, you know, the debate about good or great? Look, we can have that all day long. The reality is you can win a Super Bowl with the type of player that Dak Prescott is. He's in your building. He's been drastically underpaid for a long time. He's earned and deserves this contract. And really, I think the Dallas Cowboys are going to find themselves in a worse spot for not getting it done sooner.
Yeah, obviously that tape points out some of his skill level and his talent. But when we're coming off of the season when a great majority of people are saying Dak Prescott just had his best season ever, but then you look at it, again, quarterbacks in the NFL, they get paid for performance in the red zone, performance on third down. And then when you do you show up against the big boys that season? And that's my point, is that didn't happen last year. And so maybe there's a little bit of Dak betting on himself. I'm not going to let that happen again, and I will go cash in. And then there's maybe a little bit of the Cowboys going, we know how good our roster is, and I need our quarterback to take us to the next level. We were 8-8 last year. We need to go to the next level. And so maybe there's both sides going, we'll figure out exactly where we are, what we have at the quarterback spot this coming season.
All right, more in the Cowboys and Dak in a bit. But right now, let's go back to the news that Adam broke at the top of the show, that the Titans and Derrick Henry are working on a deal before this 4 p.m. Eastern deadline. Adam, what more can you add?
Well, Susie, think about it in this way. Derrick Henry is on the franchise tag, was scheduled to make $10.27 million this year. If he got tagged again next year, it would have been close to about $12 million. So you're looking at $22 million over the 2 years. So it was up to these two sides to try to figure out a way to overcome that, to get Derrick Henry done on a long-term deal. He was so dominant last year, and it's probably in his best interest with the way that he runs, the physical brand of football, to get a long-term deal done. Now, again, as of Tuesday, they were not expecting this deal to get done. But we saw that last year in Atlanta with Grady Jarrett, where nothing was expected to get done. And lo and behold, about 1 o'clock Eastern on deadline day, the two sides hammered out a deal. And last night, these sides started talking to see if at the last moment there was anything left to salvage. And obviously, they have found a common ground that each side is willing to give on that looks like they're going to get Derrick Henry done within the next hour by the deadline at 4 o'clock Eastern to lock him up to a long-term deal after the playoff run that he had last year. And if you look at all the free agent running backs next year that are scheduled to hit the free agent market, it's a lot. And so for Derrick Henry to get his money now and take himself out of that market, probably a very good move on his part.
Yeah, I agree. Look, I think this is an example of Derrick Henry being smart here and at the last minute, along with his representation, going, hey, look, let's just look forward here. Okay, as a running back, we're depreciating assets, all right? We just are. As soon as they drive us off the lot and we start carrying the football and we start taking hits and we start putting mileage on our legs, our value starts to go down. It starts to go down. We're looking at a cap situation in 2021 that we've already said that we're looking at to be neutral to maybe decline in 2021. That's strike one. Number two, there's a lot of free agents coming on the market in 2021 that I have to compete with as far as trying to find a football team. That's strike two. Then I have a draft coming in 2021 that's going to be full of running backs that again offer cheap available labor that has less mileage on their legs. That's strike three. I better take the money now when I start looking at that landscape and just going ahead and locking in my future. This is a much different situation than with Dak Prescott, where you figure, look, I'm in the prime of my career. My services are going to be in demand because I play quarterback. I'm going to play this thing out and try and hit free agency.
All right, this is going to be fun to follow for the next 45 minutes. We'll have updates on Henry and the rest of the tagged group throughout the show. Less than an hour to go before the franchise tag deadline comes and goes. NFL Live taking you up to the final seconds. Which players will reach a long-term deal before 4 p.m. Eastern time? It's going to be showtime for...
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
A long time in KC. In the last 10 days alone, they've locked up Patrick Mahomes with the largest contract in sports history, 10 years, $450 million, and perhaps their best defensive player, Chris Jones, at 4 years and up to $85 million. It continues their trend of locking up homegrown talent. Players like Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce, left tackle Eric Fisher are all signed through at least 2021, giving the Chiefs a nice window with their core super talented players. It's great to welcome the man in the middle of it all, Chiefs GM Brett Veach. And Brett, in a time during a pandemic when deals seem to be at a standstill, you sign Patrick Mahomes to the biggest contract in sports history and follow up with a long-term deal for Chris Jones. So what's different about your approach in these very uncertain times?
Well, first off, hi, Susie, and thanks for having me on. I think our approach is just open communication and dialogue, and we certainly knew that after the draft we were heading down the road of uncertain times. But, you know, our mindset the whole time was if we just keep open dialogue with these groups and let them know where we're coming from and get creative. And fortunately for me, I have a great creative staff on the cap side with Brant Tillis and Chris Shea, and then on the player side with the Katz brothers representing Chris and Chris Cabot and Lee Steinberg representing Pat. I think both parties were just really driven and determined to keep their players here in Kansas City.
Brett, talking about communication, what is it that Pat Mahomes expressed to you as far as what was important to him regarding the structure of this contract?
Yeah, well, listen, you know, Pat made it very clear from the onset that what was important to him was protections for himself and his family, certainly. And but equally as important to him was the ability for the team to have flexibility throughout this contract. You know, it's important for Pat to keep talent around him. He also wants to see the players that he's been in the locker room with for the last 2 or 3 years to be rewarded. And that was important to Pat. So we were able to really work a deal that satisfies both those needs with him in regards to his protections, and also with his other need, which was to reward players both currently in the locker room and hopefully as his career goes on, our ability to continue to add talent around him.
You know, there's been some discussion, obviously, within the media and amongst people in the NFL about the actual contract itself. Explain a little bit why this is a contract that is good for Pat, rewards him for what he's done, is going to reward him for what he's going to do in the future, but at the same time, it's good for the Kansas City Chiefs as well.
Well, right. And again, I think just the open dialogue throughout this whole process was key. You know, you talk about the protections that are there. And really, when you look at this contract and the roster bonuses that quickly turn into guarantees after almost every year he plays. So as soon as he steps on the field, you know, these triggers are guaranteed, you know, one, sometimes, you know, 2 years in advance. And that really guarantees this contract for the duration of his time here. That shows the commitment that we have in Pat, but also it shows the commitment that Pat has to this organization. And I think that speaks volumes on behalf of the Hunt family and the Chiefs organization, our coaching staff and Coach Reed, and our great fan base here, the Chiefs Kingdom.
Yeah, you say good for everyone. It sure appears that you guys are positioned for another Super Bowl run. Phenomenal cast around Patrick. Top talent signed through 2021. Depth. But how do you balance the now and the near future with the down the road stuff?
Yeah. Well, it goes back to the work that our cap crew has done, and just always keeping in mind that, you know, there is a price to pay for
elite level talent, and certainly Pat Mahomes and Chris Jones are elite players, but also the ability to have flexibility within those contracts to get creative and to do things within the structure of those contracts to allow for maneuverability of the team. Again, just to continue to add talent and to keep this thing going. It's always difficult, but again, I think when you when all sides are committed to staying in one place, and again, it goes back to Chris, Cabot, and Lee really loving the environment here, Pat loving the environment here, same thing with the Katz brothers and Chris Jones. I think when everyone's on the same page of let's find a way to make it work, let's find a way to keep these guys in Kansas City, it just allows our guys to get creative and really find solutions to all these problems.
You're making it sound easy. Like, in a word, is all of this actually easy?
No, it's stressful again, and I'm very blessed to have a lot of great people around me, and you know, the players that I work with, I think their agents deserve a tip of the cap because they were really committed to our vision for them, both in the short and long term, and it all starts and ends on our side with Clark Hunt and his ability to trust our staff, and again, as you mentioned, Susie, just the balance of success now, but also protecting our ability to add to this roster as the years go on with these two talented players.
And I wanted to ask you about the Chiefs' perspective on this. Mahomes appeared in that powerful Black Lives Matter players video. It was right in the middle of the negotiation on this deal. And he told GQ in an interview, sometimes it's not about the money, it's about doing what's right. Patrick, using his platform to speak out, what does that mean for the organization?
Well, right. Well, really, Patrick and Tyrann Mathieu were both key elements to that video. And I think that certainly from our standpoint, we're proud of these guys. And I think these guys are certainly driven and determined to win on the field on Sundays. But these two individuals are special, and we have a lot of special players in our locker room. But these guys know their platform. And again, as driven and determined as they are on the field, they're equally as driven and determined to be successful off the field and make an impact. And talk about two guys that they don't want to talk about change. They want to be active participants in change. So we couldn't be more proud of them and glad and thankful that they're in our community for both now and the long term.
Yep. Looks like the NFL is in good hands. Brett, we appreciate some time. Always great to see you.
Great. Thank you guys for having me on, and hope you guys are staying safe and sane, and look forward to seeing you at Arrowhead soon.
Sounds good.
Thanks.
Take it easy, man.
Thanks.
And now, just 33 minutes until the deadline for franchise tag players to reach long-term deals, 4 p.m. Eastern time. One of the players in limbo is Ravens pass rusher Matthew Judon. He teased earlier today, y'all leave me alone. I'm waiting on an important call before 4. Oh, clock's ticking here. Adam, you pick it up there. Where do the Ravens stand on Judon?
Well, I don't think the call he's going to get is the one that he wants to get. I don't think he's going to be able to get a long-term extension done in the next 30-plus minutes to beat that 4 o'clock Eastern deadline. The two sides have had discussions. They have not progressed very far, at least to this point in time. We'll see if there's something unexpected that materializes at the last moment, Susie, but it sounds like Matthew Judon will be playing on the one-year deal. As for Yannick Ngakoue, basically Jacksonville has listened to trade offers for him. He has determined not to play there. He has announced his intentions not to play for that franchise again. We'll see how the Jaguars handle it going forward, but he's not going to get an extension done by the deadline today at 4 Eastern. The question is if and when he's moved on from Jacksonville. As for A.J. Green, the Bengals wide receiver, not expected to land a long-term extension by the 4 Eastern deadline. I don't think there's been very much conversation between the two sides leading up to today's 4 o'clock Eastern deadline. A.J. Green will be obviously a Bengal this upcoming season. It looks like they want him to play with the rookie number one overall pick, Joe Burrow, but it will not be on a long-term contract extension for the Bengals. A.J. Green and the Bengals will not get that done by the deadline later today.
We're keeping an eye on all the tag players, especially Derrick Henry, in talks right now to get a long-term deal done with the Titans. Adam is all over that. And could the Cowboys and Dak Prescott come in under the wire?
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Who thought we'd be here? No long-term deal for Dak on franchise tag deadline day. 25 minutes to go. Can they strike a deal before 4 p.m. Eastern? So let's focus on the Cowboys once again. While Dak has gotten most of the headlines, it's been a busy offseason in Dallas. They hired former Packers Super Bowl-winning head coach Mike McCarthy to replace Jason Garrett. One of Dak's biggest weapons, Amari Cooper, cashed in. The Cowboys gave him a massive deal a year after giving big contracts to Ezekiel Elliott and DeMarcus Lawrence. They also made a splash in the draft to further bolster their offense. Wide receiver CeeDee Lamb fell to Dallas with the 17th overall pick. And in a surprise move, Dallas signed Andy Dalton to a one-year deal in May to back up Dak. Dalton had been the Bengals' starting quarterback since 2011. The Cowboys got all that done. Why wasn't Dak the priority? Mort here to answer that. Mort, why is Dak still the question mark in all of this?
Well, Jerry Jones and his son Stephen Jones, the top two dogs there with the Dallas Cowboys organization, both feel that they've made an offer that values Dak, that they put him beyond Carson Wentz of the Philadelphia Eagles and even or just Jared Goff of the Rams. But remember, Dak Prescott was taken in the fourth round of the 2016 draft. He's only made $4 million. So certainly Dak, who's been there every week, has been durable, has performed at a high level, and they just believe that they can work this out. And you can certainly make a case that they should have not have signed Ezekiel Elliott when he played his holdout. But they can create some cap space next year. I know the cap's going to be flat. Probably, but there's going to be new TV contracts coming in. If you look at beyond future years, I think the Cowboys do believe they can handle a $38 million cap hit or get a deal done eventually with Dak. And I do think that playing for Mike McCarthy this year may give the Joneses some feedback in terms of just how far they want to go with this deal. But the expectation from the Joneses certainly is that Dak Prescott is their quarterback now and their quarterback of the future.
Okay, we'll see. Let's bring Dan and Tim back in, our quarterbacks. Guys, 2020 is set. Dak plays under the franchise tag. Tim, what do you believe happens in 2021?
Well, I think Dak Prescott will play well in 2020, which will create a situation where it just won't make any sense whatsoever to let him go. No matter, you know, Mort alluded to it, you know, a flat cap and a massive cap number to put the franchise tag on him, you know, a second time. So, look, I think he's back in a Dallas Cowboy uniform, and I think that essentially he's just costing the Cowboys more and more money the longer that this thing gets strung along, much like it has already. So, look, I just think that's the type of player he is. It's what he's done every year is he throws at least 22 touchdown passes. He never throws more than 13 picks. You know, he'll probably be around 4,000 yards this year, and you know, in terms of passing. And so when you do that as an organization, if you're the Dallas Cowboys, what are you going to do? Let him walk and then replace him with who? So I just, with that being said, I think he's a Dallas Cowboy.
But why isn't he now? Like, that would be my question. Why isn't he, at least for the long term already? A couple things. They need to go to the playoffs, deep into the playoffs, and he needs to play better against good football teams. I don't understand why this is so hard for everyone to, like, kind of point to and go, he struggled last year versus good defenses, versus good football teams. He was not a difference maker. And Tim, I love the fact of your point, like, yeah, he's going to have a good season, but he just had the best season of his career, according to some people. He threw for 30 touchdowns and almost 5,000 yards. Now, I am one who thinks a lot of those numbers are hollow and they are padded versus very bad football teams. So he's going to have to this year play his best football against those really good teams. And this team's got to go to the playoffs. You know, Mort brought up a great point about Stephen Jones and Jerry Jones. And this is what we know that they've said publicly about the contract situation. Jerry Jones said it's got to fit for us. And Stephen Jones has pointed to the fact that analytically, when you pay X amount of percentage of your cap to your quarterback, you don't go to the Super Bowl. 3 years ago, the Eagles did on a rookie deal with Carson Wentz. 2 years ago, the Rams did on a rookie deal with Jared Goff. And last year, the Chiefs do on a rookie deal with Patrick Mahomes. So he's got to play his best football against the best team, or 2021, he won't be a Cowboy.
Yeah, what's interesting here, though, Dan, is this. Either the Cowboys are betting on the fact that Dak doesn't play well, or they're betting on the fact that they can find the next best alternative. Because it doesn't matter if he plays similar to this year, or if he played slightly down or slightly up. The fact of the matter is this. The average per year is going to start at $37 million next year. So if they next year go, well, we don't have a next best alternative, and he did play flat to slightly down from his past year, we have nowhere to go. And now we're going to just pay more in a flat cap, you know, type of situation. So I get exactly what you're saying. And I understand, look, there are many ways to slice up his performance and analyze his performance so that it fits with the line in the sand that they have drawn. And I'm not saying that they're trying to do that facetiously. I'm saying that that's what happens. I mean, teams are trying to figure out what fair market value is. I'm just saying this. They're going to be in a bind come January next year. They're going to be in a bind because it's going to cost more to sign him, or you're going to be totally sitting there going, it's Andy Dalton or nothing.
And that's exactly what's going to happen. It's not just about is he good or is he great. It's what's your other alternative at the position. And you can talk about the other teams that went to the Super Bowl with a rookie quarterback. They all got new deals. And they're not afraid of building a team that goes back to the Super Bowl with those new deals. I would just point to the Washington Redskins and Kirk Cousins. Someone please tell me if they think that the Redskins are better off after not doing a long-term deal with Kirk Cousins. They're not. Kirk Cousins made them pay big time for 2 years in a row, cost a ton of money against the cap, and then he walks, gets the deal that he probably deserves with the Minnesota Vikings. And here we are looking at the Redskins, and they have a quarterback that they don't know they can play. They barely played at all last year. So they're not going to be better.
They're in a whole different situation, though.
Handling it the way that they handled it, because they're in good versus great.
I think that's an unfair comparison because organizationally, the Cowboys are much healthier structure-wise than the Redskins have been for a long time. So I think that's a little bit of a unfair conversation. I just think this, to say we don't know what the alternative is, so we're just going to pay you more than you we feel you've earned or deserved, is how you get yourself in big trouble in the NFL.
Bottom line, what's
worse?
And
that's why they're in big trouble.
What's worse than instability at the quarterback position? We thought the Titans might stiff arm a long-term deal for the NFL's leading rusher. 12 minutes to go to get a deal done, and they are talking now. Henry has a good case for a long-term deal. The 26-year-old was last year's rushing champ, finished the season on a historic tear. He had 377 rushing yards in the Titans' 2 playoff wins. But here's why there was some doubt that Henry's deal would get done. Next year's loaded free agent running back class. The market could include household names like Dalvin Cook, Alvin Kamara, Aaron Jones, Leonard Fournette, Joe Mixon, and James Conner. And there's plenty of depth, too, with guys like Kareem Hunt, Kenyon Drake, and Philip Lindsay. Adam, we're closing in at about 10 minutes to go. What's happening with Henry right now?
Susie, we expect to get word at some point in the next 10 minutes that Derrick Henry and the Tennessee Titans have reached agreement on a long-term contract. They are trying to put the finishing touches on that deal before the 4 o'clock deadline coming right up. I think the deal surprises some people because 24, 48 hours ago, nobody thought this deal was going to get done, and the deadline changed things, as it sometimes does right before the franchise deadline. The two sides started talking last night. They began exchanging some proposals. They've come to a common ground here that they're just trying to finish off right now, and we are waiting for the official word. And meanwhile, while the Titans and Derrick Henry are now finalizing that deal, at least trying to, the Dallas Cowboys and Dak Prescott continue not to have any dialogue, as has been the case for weeks, as has been the case for months. Dak Prescott will not get a deal done by the 4 o'clock Eastern deadline. He will be playing this season on the one-year franchise tag, Susie.
You said weeks, months, as has been the case for a year. But let's go back to Derrick Henry, because it appears this deal is going to get done. So, Lewis, what does this then indicate to you about the market value for running backs? Because, yeah, it didn't look very good for Raheem Mostert or even going back to Le'Veon Bell. Does this change things?
Yeah, I guess it all depends on, you know, what these numbers actually come in at. And I think also, yeah, what it says about the market is this. If you've got, you know, a bird in the hand, you probably better take it here, especially considering how the market is going to be flooded with available options once free agency comes around in 2021. For the Titans, I'm sure that they got this deal done on their terms. And number two, you know, just looking at it purely, you know, from a football standpoint and not just purely from a, you know, a dollars and cents standpoint, they like the formula that they have going on down there in Tennessee. They like the combination of Ryan Tannehill throwing to get the lead and then Derrick Henry absolutely just putting you away with those second half, third and fourth quarter runs with that big body. They like that formula. It almost carried them to a Super Bowl. So I think they kind of like the nucleus of what they've got going on there. They've got a young up-and-coming offensive coordinator in Arthur Smith. Mike Vrabel's hitting his stride as a head coach. So I think this just kind of fits for both parties. For Derek, it's better than going out there on the free agent market. And for Tennessee, it's like, we like what we're doing. We like what we're building here. So I think in this particular situation, it's just going to work out best for both of them.
Yeah, it's one of these things where there's common sense in the situation, which I don't know if we've necessarily seen. Everybody keeps throwing up their hands at what the Cowboys are doing. This is something here in Tennessee, right, that just makes sense.
Sure.
Okay, we'll keep our eye on it.
I certainly think so. I think Lewis makes a great point about, you know, like, Derrick Henry wants to be in Tennessee. And then you look at the Titans, they probably like Derrick Henry maybe more than the market would like Derrick Henry. These numbers will be really interesting when you put them in comparison to the other big running back deals that everyone, you know, continues to look at and saying, you know, teams maybe regret those deals. You know, because it's important to remember, you know, Derrick Henry isn't a three-down back. Some of the other guys, like a Le'Veon Bell, in the deal that he signed, he's a three-down back. And so when you look at what you know, Lewis was referring to as the formula. Look, the formula in Tennessee, I think, is comfortable absorbing Derrick Henry, you know, in terms of how he fits into their offense, how they decide to use him, when he comes off the field. And I think they're pretty comfortable with that. So this seems to me like, you know, it's probably the best thing for both parties, everything included, in terms of what the market would look like and how each of these, you know, how they feel about each other, quite honestly.
It looks like
You know what, Susie, I was just going to, if I could just jump in here real quick. I think it's important sometimes, you know, when we get in these discussions about salary caps and team building, I think sometimes it's important to remember that it's not just always, and I alluded to this earlier, it's not just always about dollars and cents. Look, Derrick Henry obviously is someone who is good for this football team. So you try to find a way to make it work with him so it doesn't put you in a bad situation where you're regretting the contract because you want him on your football team because it just makes it – they have a good football team. It doesn't always have to have this fantasy component to it where you just go, well, you know what, we're just going to swap him out and bring in another guy and we're just going to be just fine. You just don't know what that would do to your football team, especially in this era right now where no one has been together at all offseason long.
That's true. He set the tone for this team. It's T-minus 2 minutes to the franchise tag deadline, and it looks like just 2 of 14 tag players getting deals done before the deadline. One of them, he calls himself the CEO of Sack Nation, and that would be Chiefs defensive tackle Chris Jones. He signs his deal as much as $85 million over 4 years. There he is, putting pen to paper. Congratulations to Chris Jones. Of course, the big name we looked at, Dak Prescott, for the last year, could not get a deal done. So, guys, just final thoughts on the future now for Dak Prescott. Dan, you go first.
Susie, I think that Dak Prescott needs to be the reason why this team makes it to at least the second round of the playoffs, and he needs to play his best football when they play their best teams. If you look at the quarterbacks that have done that, it's Drew Brees, it's Patrick Mahomes, it's Wilson, it's Watson, it's Wentz. Those top quarterbacks play their best ball against the best opponents. That needs to be what Dak does this season, or he won't be a Cowboy in the future.
Now, I would just say this. Just like Kirk Cousins said, the cream will rise to the top. And when it rises to the top, you're going to be rewarded. And right now, Dak just has to play. If Dak plays well, he's going to have everybody right where he wants them, eating out of his hand, and he's going to get awful, awful, awful rich.
Adam, the Titans and Derrick Henry in the final moments here. What's going on behind the scenes right now?
Well, Susie, they're going back and forth trying to finalize this deal. I think they get it done, but there's still no official word that that contract is done. Now, this sometimes can happen. I remember Muhammad Wilkerson getting a deal done at 4:20 Eastern. The paperwork was filed to the NFL, and sometimes it takes some finagling to polish up these numbers and get the deal. As long as you submit that letter of intent to the NFL that declares that that deal is getting done, they are extended it by a couple of minutes here, and that may be the case here with Derrick Henry, are awaiting official word. But we said on Monday morning that we were not expecting more than one or two deals to franchise players. And we've got Chris Jones yesterday, and it looks like we'll get Derrick Henry here in a matter of minutes here. That's the second deal, and that would mean of the 14 players who had franchise tags, two would wind up with long-term extensions. Chief defensive tackle Chris Jones and Titans running back Derrick Henry, though that one is not yet official. We are still awaiting word.
Yeah, they'll need just a few moments to polish this up as we say goodbye as we hit 4 p.m. Eastern time, but it sure sounds like the deal will get done.